B-Pod Studios.
All right, it's 4 o'clock hour. It's the Mike Misnelli Show. It's on 97.5 The Fanatic. It's on NBC Sports Philadelphia at 4 o'clock hour. Brought to us by Landis Block. Your one-stop shop to create a jaw-dropping outdoor paradise. Online at LandisBC.com. Right, the man who covered the Sixers through this, lengthy, but not lengthy enough, playoff series. So they lose to Toronto. But the exit interviews come out and everybody starts talking, including Brett Brown today. The man who covers him for the Inquirer on the Comcast Business Hotline is Keith Pompey. Keith, how you doing today, buddy?
Hey, man, I'm doing well. How you doing?
Good. I know Brett was really good today. Now, he talked a lot, and there were a couple of things that could have gotten more specific. So let's talk about what you pressed him on, first of all, about his job. Do you believe that he knew his job wasn't in jeopardy, or do you think the owner was waiting to see how this finished?
I don't think he knew that his job was in jeopardy, no. I think he thought that his job was in jeopardy. Because the thing is, you know, Mike, he was asked after the game about his job, and he said, that's something that y'all need to talk to, you know, the team about. And then, to me, all the stuff that he was being said, you know, the report, the Mark Stein, you know, Mark Stein report was basically stuff that, you know, people have been talking about all year. It just happened to come on the day before that game. You would think that someone within the organization would have came out and made a public support for Brett Brown, a statement of public support, because it was the biggest game. And you have guys, and I know Brett says, oh, yeah, they could rally behind me. Nah, not if you're dead man walking. I mean, people, like, they're like, yo, they're about to fire the coach. Like, nobody's supporting them. What's going on? And I feel like that, you know, could have had an impact on players, their players' performance. And it was a huge distraction. So, you know what I mean? If that was true, you know, Brett Brown probably would have said something beforehand, and the team would have said something beforehand. And it just looks like people are just trying to cover up things to make it seem like, you know, everyone else is crazy.
No, I agree with you. And we talked about this earlier. I think that, you know, Josh Harris didn't decide until they got to game seven and that outcome, actually, where they lost on a miracle shot for him to commit. And that's what drove him to go into the concourse and high five everybody. I believe he was waiting and they needed to advance to a certain point before he was decided he was going to bring him back. So I agree with you. So did they make the right move in bringing him back?
I mean, at this point, I mean, you know, you're looking at coaches getting jobs and you're saying to yourself, like, wow, like, people are hiring them. Who else is out there? You know, so I guess it's one of those things, like, who else is out there? I mean, J.J. Redick said that. You know, I do think that, you know, all of them, they're going to really be evaluated closely. You know, when you look at Brett Brown, people can complain about his late game adjustments. They can complain about a lot of other things. But he did coach his tail off in the second round series, playoff series. And also, the one thing that you can say is, like, hey, he did have three different teams. So now I think he's going to be really under the microscope to see what he can do, you know, with 82 games and a full in a postseason. You know, with the guys that they're going to assemble next year, you know, it's one of those things where it's a to be seen type of thing. But you know, it's hard for me to say a guy should lose his job after losing at the buzzer on Game 7 against the team that had the second best record in the league.
Yeah, I mean, that's the logical part of it. So, like, you know, we're talking about if they had lost a series in five games, you'd think the same result would have happened.
If they would have lost in five games, he would have been gone.
Yeah.
I mean, he would have been gone. And if they would have lost to Brooklyn, you know, he might have been fired, like, you know what I mean, before they got back to Philly.
What was your opinion of what Brett had to say today on various players, the Embiid situation? And he believes you know he's going to come back and be in better shape, and Ben Simmons thing, which he really didn't answer directly on what that shot's going to be like. What was your impression of what he had to say about those two guys?
My impression was Brett Brown said what a coach is supposed to say in a public setting. You know, it's like one of those things where, you know, you go into a game or whatever and you always say publicly, yeah, we're going to win. We're going to win. But then when you get behind closed doors, you say, we can't beat those Giants. We can't beat them. So to me, it just looked like a guy who was just basically out there publicly, you know, trying to take up for his players. That was it. You know, and the thing about Joel Embiid, you know, Brett Brown could say whatever he wants to say about Joel. You know, it's up to Joel to get back in better shape. And if you remember, Brett Brown kind of said the same thing about Markel last summer. Like, he hyped him up to the point where, you know, everyone was excited to see him at the start of the season. And he kept doing it throughout the summer. And then when we saw him, people were like, oh, what's going on? So, to me, it's like the coach speak 101. He's being rah-rah for his guy so everyone can be excited.
Yeah, I get that. So now let's move on to Ben. It did seem like he was endorsing the fact that his brother's still going to work with him. So there may be a little discomfort there within the organization. Do you believe that to be true?
I mean, it could be. But, you know, here's the thing about that. You know, if you look at it, there's a lot of guys who do have their own workout guy. You know, with him. I mean, Ben's just happens to be his brother. I mean, Jimmy has a guy who works out with him and does things of that sort. So, you know, I think it's like part of the NBA, you know, and it was one of those things. They had a guy, John Townsend, used to work out Ben. They decided, you know, the family and the Sixers decided that they felt like his brother, you know, was better for him because it was a family member. So, you know, and the one thing I will say is that you do see his brother a lot on the road after shoot around, and they're in the gym getting up shots, you know, and sometimes even there at the gym before practice. So, you know, it's one of those things we'll see. But again, it's all up to Ben. You know, Ben has to, you know, dedicate himself to come out there and decide that he wants to become a better shooter.
Let's look now at how the team can look next year. And, I don't know if you got any feel for like the exit interviews and everything like that, or what Elton Brand had to say. But what is your opinion on whether Jimmy and Tobias or both will be back, and what they do with JJ, all this kind of thing?
You know, I honestly think that, and I would be shocked if JJ comes back. I mean, you know, he could, but the Sixers. But the thing is, I think the Sixers are going to try to, you know, do the Tobias and Jimmy thing first. And the thing about JJ, I do believe when the clock strikes 12, the New York Knicks and maybe even the Brooklyn Nets are going to offer him. I mean, New York had people basically like the last two-thirds of the season at like every game, you know, and you factor if they get the first pick and they can get some big free agents who they think they got a chance at, J.J. Redick is a good guy who can come in and space the floor for him. You know, Jimmy and Tobias, I think what it's going to come down to, the Sixers, right? I mean, they know that they can get paid with the Sixers, but I think it's going to come down to roles. I mean, because, you know, you have these two guys, you know, like, do you want to be the fourth option on this team, or do you want to go somewhere and get the money? You just don't get that fifth year. But you can be the man, and you can get endorsements, and you can do a lot of other things. So I think that's the situation that they have to go over, you know, amongst themselves and amongst their camp, so to speak.
Let me get back to Ben for one second, because you sat in that room, the interview with Ben, the exit interview with Ben, and when he was pressed on his shot, he just seems to be in denial about it. What do you make of that?
You know, Ben knows. He knows. But I think, you know, Ben is the type of guy that, you know, he's one of those dudes who, you know, you know how you look at a Western and the guy is out of bullets and it's like five people in front of him and he's talking about, go ahead, do what you got to do. Like, he's really nervous but he's not going to admit it. And I think that's Ben. Ben knows that, you know, he needs to work on his Jay, but he's not going to come out and say it. Like, you know, in the press conference, he's going to come out like he's extremely confident. He's going to say, I got this and this and that. He's not going to let people know that, hey, you know, it was a failure this season. I mean, that's just Ben Simmons to me. He's a confident guy, you know, and he always wants to come across that way.
Well, let me ask you this. If the question, if there was a direct question to Ben that says, Ben, why is it that you don't shoot the ball? What would his answer be to that?
Because I don't need to.
Really?
But
the whole world knows he does. So if he knows, you're saying he, on one hand, he knows it, but he doesn't know it?
I mean, he knows. I mean, he knows it will make him a better player. You know, he knows that it will make him a better player. He knows that. You know, he knows that once he develops a jumper, it's going to be one of those things where, as much as we talk about Embiid, I find it hard to believe if Ben Simmons had a jumper that we wouldn't say that this wasn't Ben Simmons' team, especially with the health issues that Embiid has. But Ben Simmons, let's face it, you know, this guy has been a great athlete. You know, he's been a great basketball player. He's always been the best in the game or what have you. So it was always one of those things where he just used to do what he did and was better. He would blow by people. He would dunk on them. He would do all this other stuff. And as far as him saying, I don't need a jumper, it's one of those things where he looks around and he looks at his teammates. And you have, you know, J.J. Redick, you have Tobias Harris, you have Mike Scott, you know, guys who can stick threes, Joel Embiid. And to him, his role is to get them the ball and they make it. So that's why he would say, I don't need it. But deep down inside, he knows in order for him to get to this upper echelon, is the fact that, you know, like, I have to do that. Now, here's something else, Mike. Like, there were some people within the organization who, once Ben became an all-star, it was one of those things where they're saying, wow, we didn't want this to happen this year. Privately. Mm-hmm. And the reason being is because, like, if you tell a guy, you say, okay, you can do everything besides shoot a jumper or take them. And you can say to him, like, if you start working on your jumper, then all of a sudden you're going to be an all-star. But now that he made it without getting the jumper, so what's the motivation? So now you have to say to him, like, yo, you could be a perennial all-star. You could be a first-team all-NBA type of guy. So it's one of those things where he's always been good enough to get by without a jumper. So, you know, he just has to fail.
All right, the last thing. Assistant coach has got to hire somebody, and the name Thibodeau came up the other day in my email. Well, what do you think of that as a hire for a defensive coach? Would Brett submit himself to having a guy like Thibodeau as a strong-willed assistant?
I don't think I would.
you would not?
Nah, from Brett. Because, you know, a lot of times this stuff goes wrong, and you got a guy like Tibbs who can step in and slide in and be the head coach.
He would be a threat more than a help.
Yeah, he would be a threat. He would be a threat. I mean, you know, everybody can say how confident they are, you know what I mean? Mm-hmm. But I don't think I would have Tom Thibodeau, especially knowing, even though, you know, some people can argue that, you know, Jimmy did him wrong for what he did in Minnesota. But, you know, he and Jimmy are still good friends, and they do have a conversation. So if it comes to a point, if you bring Jimmy Butler back and Tibbs is the assistant, and then you start seeing how Tibbs and Jimmy get along, this and that, he's listening to him more. Nah, you don't want to bring that in here.
All right. The last question is this. Give me a name. Give me a mid-level exception name that would help their bench.
A mid-level exception that would help their bench. Wow, this guy is going to want more than a mid-level, but I still think they could go after Tyreke Evans. You know, I know he didn't have a good season this past year in Indiana, but I think that they need a guy who can come off the bench and give them buckets, who can score. You know, I mean, I think that if you can get him for, like, you know what I mean, a year or 2 years, I think that he will help them out. Now, there are going to be some people who disagree, but when we look at it, the one thing that the bench was kind of lacking was, like, perimeter scoring. I know that James Ennis stepped up a little bit, but if you had a guy who can just come in and help you, you know what I mean, who can get buckets, you know, I think that Tyreek Evans would be a good fit.
Not a bad name if they have the money. We'll see what happens. Keith, breathe easier these days. Yeah, that's over. You take a break. Good job.
Yeah. I'm going to take a couple days off next week, bro.
Out of way. All right, man. Thanks for coming on. Appreciate it.
Thanks for having me.
All right, that's Keith Pompey. Covering the Sixers now. Yeah. You're beat writer, you go, oh, I get some time off. Just like you, man, with Sixers outside. You can hang out with Zaire. You know?
Yeah, I'm trying to think.
Mickey Williams.
If I went to the Sixers, would they give me Zaire's number?
Yo, Z, it's Tyrone.
You know who I am. You know, I'm your biggest.
I was just going to say, you're his biggest advocate.
You, me, and Nick, we go downtown.
Yeah, when's the Phillies next day off? Because I don't want to hang out with one and not the other. If I hang out, I should hang out with Zaire and Nick. That would be a great photo op, too, for Club Tyrone.
That would be a great day.
Club Tyrone, that'd be the poster for Club Tyrone.
Yeah, I'll get my lotto to show up, too.
With you doing this pose.
That's my pose. It's a signature.
Wait, what'd you... Oh, yeah, the...
That's my signature pose.
The Tyrone pose.
Yeah, it's so great.
Flanked by Nick Williams and Zaire Smith.
That's the pose. That would be awesome.
He's got a Rylan in a horse room. Rylan, you're on 97.5 The Fanatic. Rylan. Rylan! Oh, no, he's not... Was that a woman or a man, Rylan? That's a great name, by the way.
Like a
Isn't
Rylan.
A great name. I think Martinez has a daughter named Rylan.
Is it Rylan or Riley?
I think it's Rylan. R-Y-L-A-N. It's a cool name, isn't it?
Yeah, it's a beautiful name.
Yeah.
Yeah, for I don't think there's many darker complexion people with a Rylan, but that's not a bad name. Yeah.
All right, what's wrong with that?
No, nothing wrong with it.
It would work.
Yeah, it would work.
Rylan would work.
It also would be camouflaged when you send out a resume. They'd be shocked. You show up and show you got the interview, might as well talk to me. I'm here now. Too late.
Let's blur the name line, shall we? Let's go to Mike in New Jersey. Mike, you're on 97.5 The Fanatic. Mike.
Hey, how's it going, Mike?
What's up, buddy? How you doing?
Pretty good, pretty good. Hey, the thing about Simmons that I worry about most, honestly, is if you look at all players in the past that had no jumper or had confidence, He doesn't even try to shoot. Remember Kobe, his rookie year? Kobe shot, I think, two air balls in the playoffs against Utah. And, you know, it was like laughed out of everywhere.
Well, but see, that's why I think it's a mental problem. He doesn't try to shoot. It's a block in his brain. There's no other reason.
Dude, you gotta shoot. I was a 5'8 CYO kid. I didn't see a shot I never liked. You know what I mean?
Because you were a 5'8 CYO kid. That's why you had to shoot the ball. You weren't 6'10 and could get to the basket.
I could knock it down. No, I hear you. I understand that. But you know what I mean? Like,
it's a little different. If you were a 6'10 kid, CYO kid, you'd probably get it to the basket a little bit. You know what I'm saying? You know,
I just worry about him. I don't think he's ever going to develop a jump shot. I honestly don't.
That's the $1 million question. And if he doesn't next year, I'm very disappointed. I can be honest with you. I don't know what his future is on my team if he can't shoot the ball and he's not going to shoot it. Now, yesterday somebody said, well, you know, it may take 5 years. I don't have 5 years. No, 5 years. I wait for a guy for 5 years to take a jump shot. Come on. Cash in Mount Airy. Cash, you're on 97.5 The Fanatic. Cash.
Hey, Mike, how you doing?
What's up, Cash?
Listen, is Brett Brown a spokesman or is he a head coach? You know what I mean? I thought he got paid to win basketball games, win playoff games, and win championships. I don't want to hear, he gave a great speech. You can't throw wool over my eyes. We should be playing the Milwaukee Bucks right now and in the Eastern Conference Finals. Yeah, you know I mean, so I, you know, all that's excited because he gave you. Oh, yeah.
No, we're not excited. We're just acknowledging that he's very eloquent.
Listen, well, I don't.
It's not exciting that they're not playing Milwaukee, but
eloquency means nothing to me if you can't get out of the second.
Cash,
if you can't get on your big man,
Cash,
tell him to get down low. And to give us a better chance to win the basketball.
All right, I got that. I got all that, and we went over these squandered opportunities they had. But you mean to tell me, like, a four bouncer off the rim that deprives you from going to the next round is reason to fire him?
Mike,
It shouldn't have went there. Listen, first of all, if those guys was tuned in like they were supposed to be, like Joel Embiid played around all series one.
But if that shot doesn't go in, how do you know they don't win it overtime?
We don't go to game seven if he played like he was supposed to play in game four. And that falls on the head coach to have his team prepared mentally to play basketball, to get to pit this team away. They should have pit this team away, Mike.
I can't disagree with you. There were squandered opportunities, and game four is one of them.
And I'm telling you right now.
But I don't know that you can make, listen, knowing what you've just said, which is all correct, I still don't know that it's fair that you would zip a coach when it comes down to a last game shot in game seven that prevents you from going.
I just was saying a couple weeks ago, if the guy don't get out of
the game. But the narrative changes because it's not all black and white. When you get to a game seven, the guy makes a miracle shot, it's not black and white like that. It becomes unfair at that point. Zipping the guy, because you don't know. It's the slimmest margin you can get to the next round. So the narrative shifts a little bit. And I can't justify, like, oh, yeah, I'm so mad at Brett Brown that Kawhi Leonard made a four bouncer that I'm going to fire him.
See, that caller is a caller who hates Brett Brown.
He does.
And nothing was going to change it. And after a title, they'll say, oh, it was the players. He'll get no credit even if he wins a title next year.
No, I can't disagree with what he said because you're right. Part of a coach's responsibility is to knock down a game four at home. Part of a coach's responsibility is to get possessions and don't squander it with 2 minutes to go in a game. That's all part of it. But again, it's fundamental unfairness to judge game seven when the ball bounces in like that to prevent the guy from having his job because you're that close to getting to the next round. If the shot doesn't go in, you might get to the next round. So how do you justify if you got to Milwaukee, somebody said you're going to play for Eastern Conference Finals. There's nobody that's going to say fire Brett Brown. So you got the closest margin you could possibly get to that. Doesn't get any closer than that. So how could you then say he should be fired? All right. 610-620-975. We're back after this.
The Mike Missinelli Show.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. It's going to be a busy year for country superstar Jason Aldean. He's extended his Highway Desperado tour and is teaming up with Kid Rock for Rock the Country tour dates. We've ranked our top five Jason Aldean music videos. Text Jason to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Jason to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
97.5 The Fanatic.
All right, it's 4:30. It's the Mike Missinelli Show. It's time to update our Twitter poll, which is brought to us by Paul B. Moyer and Sons, Miss Natalie.
That's right, Mike. Over 1,200. I just needed one extra
That's
second.
Right, Mike.
I just needed one extra second. All right.
Go ahead.
Over 1,200 votes on this today. Are you glad Brett Brown is back? 84% say yes, 16% say no. So still overwhelming majority say yes.
All righty. You know, I've been thinking about this John Daly thing, the PGA. And I think I've come up with a legal analysis.
What's that?
The PGA tournament is at Bethpage Black, which is a public course. Daly, the PGA may have been compelled to allow him the card through the Americans with Disabilities Act.
Oh, yeah.
Which would pertain to a public setting. And so if he qualifies for handicap privileges in his own home state of Florida, maybe he's got a claim under the Americans with Disabilities Act on a public course. And that's why the PGA had to allow him.
That would make sense. That makes perfect sense. And that probably
is the case. It's curbstone legal analysis, but I think that I'm right.
Yeah, that I buy that completely. You are the attorney. Still, in a way, to me, shameful for him to ask.
It is. Now, shameful.
Now, if it was a private course,
they would tell him.
They would say no.
Most likely, because the public accommodations would bring in the Americans with Disabilities Act.
Okay.
And that's a public accommodation course.
Yeah, he didn't try that at the. He didn't try to pull that at the Masters.
No.
He's a guy who could have got a sponsorship exemption and got into the Masters. He's a big enough name. He didn't try to pull that there Because they would have said, they don't care if they get no sponsors. Oh, you're going to drop if I don't let them? You're going to drop a sponsor? Okay, go. Because they don't care at all. They don't care at all.
No, they don't. You know, it's interesting, his rationale. I can't walk or go. Well, guess what? There are a lot of guys that can't do it anymore because of injuries. And so you retire and, you know, you're probably well off. You know, if you can't play no longer on the tour, you can't play on the tour.
So if he was to decide to go to the seniors tour.
Well, they have carts on the senior tour.
Oh, they all have carts?
Yeah.
I never watched.
Yeah, they allow carts on the senior.
They do?
Yeah.
Do all of them use them?
Yeah.
They all do?
No, why wouldn't you use it?
Well,
it's like you have a fork and chopsticks. Why would you use the chopsticks?
You know why you use the chopsticks?
What I'm saying is, you know, it's more logical.
So how old is Dale?
You ride the cart, then it would be the walk.
Right, well, how old is he? He's got to be of that age.
He's like 51, I think.
So why not just, rather than get an just play on that tour?
On what, seniors tour?
Yeah. You could compete at a pretty high level.
That could be like a pride thing.
Only.
He does compete on the seniors tour.
Don't come down if you can't. Well, if you can't compete with them on an even...
He's a champion, so he's got an exemption to play in a PGA. So, right. So why not take advantage of it?
Because if you can't do it, then step aside and go win a bunch of majors, the champions majors.
Yeah, I got you. All right, let's go Seb in Northeast Philly. Seb, you're on 97.5 The Fanatic. Seb.
Hey, Mike, how you doing?
What's going on, Seb?
Not much. I just wanted to make a point about there's a lot of talk about Ben Simmons. I've been hearing it all yesterday on Devon's show. I'm hearing it today. Yesterday, I don't know if somebody said that we should trade Ben Simmons for Jamal Murray. I don't know if you heard that, but I think that's just completely ridiculous. And there's a lot of comments going around like that about Ben Simmons lately. And I'm getting kind of tired of it.
Well, the Jamal Murray thing makes a lot more sense than like trading for Kemba Walker. But I hear the point you're making.
It's still ridiculous knowing the type of player Jamal Murray is in comparison to Ben Simmons right now.
Jamal Murray, pretty good player. I think you're shortchanging. He might be a better all-around player right now than Ben Simmons is.
Well, maybe not defensively.
Yeah, maybe not defensively. You're probably right about that.
Offensively, I would agree because, you know, he can shoot. But I wanted to bring that up because I think it's interesting. I do think it is interesting that earlier in the year, Brett Brown did say, and so did Jimmy Butler, Joel, and everybody's been saying it, that Ben Simmons does need to shoot. And he still just, you know, and the Kenneth from Pompeii, whoever called you earlier, was saying,
Keith Pompeii.
You know, if you ask a violation.
Come on, man. Kevin from Pompeii. Keith Pompeii covers the Sixers.
Yeah. Keith Pompeii. Sorry. Forgive me. But
it's disrespectful.
He did say, if you ask Ben Simmons, why don't you take a shot? He would say, because he doesn't need to. But everybody else is saying that he needs to. I do think that is a little interesting. I might be reading between the lines
Keith also said Ben knows it. Well, if he's saying he doesn't need to, then he doesn't know it. Because he does need to. But that's an interesting trade there. Jamal Murray, young, budding star player for Ben Simmons. Would that get your attention for a little bit, Tyrone?
I'd have to take the phone call. He's young.
It's not that far-fetched, to be honest with you.
He can really shoot it. And then in the playoffs, you saw how much pick and roll worked.
He's a very control point guard, too.
Yeah.
Who can shoot and get to the basket. He's an all-around player.
And if you tell me...
a better defender, obviously.
Yeah, much better. Now, if you tell me Embiid's going to be healthy, it's going to be, forget healthy, in shape, that's a really good fit. The big man will have lots of space. If you got Tobias and Murray, got a lot of room to operate underneath. Now, he's at that dunker spot instead of Ben, so even when he's not posting up, he's dangerous down there.
I don't know if Denver would think that that's something they would do. You know, I think they're pretty happy with Jamal Murray.
No, and their centers there handles the ball a lot. Ben needs the ball.
Jim in Atlantic City, you're on 97.5 The Fanatic. Jim.
Hey, Mike, how you doing?
What's up, Jim?
Talking Jimmy Butler, what if he went to the Lakers? I watch a lot of the NBA shows, and they keep saying, you know, LeBron wants the Lakers to make a big offer to Jimmy Butler, wants to play with them. If he ever went to the Lakers, where are the Sixers at then?
Well, then they have to grab another big free agent, and there are some out there. Now, if Jimmy Butler signed with the Lakers and you signed Klay Thompson or Kevin Durant, how would you feel about that?
Well, every time they ask Klay Thompson, he goes, I want to be a warrior for life. And I think Durant's some reason, wants to go to the Knicks. And I don't.
You might be right, but I'm asking you: if you signed one of those two, would you care that much about the Jimmy Butler going to the Lakers?
No, I wouldn't. No.
The Sixers would then be pressed to do something major if they lost Jimmy Butler. I agree with that.
Right. Okay. Thanks, Mike.
All right, man. Let's go. Kyle in Langhorne. Kyle, you're on 97.5 Fanatic. What's up, Kyle?
How you doing, Mike?
Good, Kyle.
Listen, you keep coming back to this, you know, the ball bounced four times on the rim and we're that close. And that's kind of what I was afraid of. We played bad enough to be disappointed, but we didn't play bad enough to hold anyone accountable. And now Brett Brown gives a speech and we all feel good about it. The fact is, we played terrible in that last game. We played poorly in three or four games of that series. And we have plenty of opportunities to win the game. And that Raptors team stinks, really, beyond Kawhi. We're talking about a team that plays...
Yeah, you're totally misguided. The Raptors stink. They're the best defensive team in the league, first of all. You think it's easy to score against that team with the length they have?
Mike, we're talking about a team that plays Fred Van Freaking Vliet 15 to 20 minutes.
You got to get more educated. Well, all due respect, come on. The Toronto Raptors are a very good team.
Beyond that, there are plenty of opportunities, and we can't keep coming back to the fact that it bounced on the rim four times.
Well, you can from this standpoint. If they reached Milwaukee, would you be content with firing Brett Brown, or would that have saved his job?
Let me just
answer the question. Right. Then we'll do this is like a process. If they got to Milwaukee, are you saying Brett Brown should be fired?
No, and I'm not saying he should be fired now, because the importance of our head coach right now is marginal, because it really comes down to our two superstars, Ben and Joel, improving their game.
Okay,
Ben,
well, I agree with that, but it sounded like you had a red butt for Brett here when you started.
Well, I do, because he showed me nothing as a coach that gives me any confidence to think that he's a great coach moving forward. But until we get these superstars playing where they need to be, then it's really a marginal, marginal topic of conversation.
Oh, well, if it's marginal, then you don't care that I don't understand what you're telling. You're like, you're not happy with Brett Brown, but he's a marginal contribution anyway. So, like, boy, you're all over the place with this. If you approach it logically, if the shot does not go in, and it was a miracle, frankly. It was like the basketball gods guided it in. They go in overtime. They go in overtime. How do you know they don't win that game in overtime? In which case, they go to Milwaukee. In which case, you're saying Brett Brown's got to come back. So the margin is so slender that you can't differentiate from it. 610-632-0975. Tonight's Philly lineup. Dollar Dog Night. I'm going. Gee, it's shock. Bukaccia, Segura, Harper, Hoskins, Realmuto, Hernandez, Herrera, Franco. Who pitched tonight? Ikey?
Yes.
Yes.
Ikey? Uh-oh. I might see a W tonight.
Yeah, you're going to see
behind Eichhoff.
And it's a four-gamer, so you get the first two. That's nice.
All right. Mike Missinelli Show, Radio TV, 97.5 The Fanatic, NBC Sports Philly.
The Mike Missinelli Show.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking five of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task, but after some debate, we landed on five we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top five? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.
97.5 The Fanatic.
It's 4:46, Mike Missinelli Show, 97.5 The Fanatic. You know, this Game of Thrones thing is driving me crazy.
I told you.
It's like Kings Are Us. Every episode I watch is another king pops out of the woodwork.
Yes.
The guy, Harry Varden from The Greatest Game Ever Played, is now a king.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah,
mm-hmm.
Well, you're always, when you watch a show, you're always predicting, aren't you? You're
the young guy who sleeps with his squire is a king. What are these kings? What are they kings of?
They're kingdoms.
They're just
kings. Little kings?
Yeah.
The main king is at King's Landing.
Maybe it would be beneficial if you checked out the books.
Read the books first.
Yeah.
You're the only person ever who I think. Well, then just watch
a woman birthing cute little dragons. I mean, what's going on here?
That's my favorite part.
you're going to have to.
The cute little dragon.
Yeah.
That sweet little girl all of a sudden is the mother of dragons?
Yes, she is.
Yes. Just keep watching.
She's a bad woman.
There's a payoff. There's a payoff for all this stuff, man. There's a payoff.
You just can't.
It's
you
not
can't,
like The Sopranos where there was no payoff.
No, you can't connect.
Bring it to a payoff soon.
No, you can't connect or try and analyze.
String me along like this.
Or try and analyze the characters. You can't get too deep with them.
Crying out loud, another king. I'm going. Why are you watching?
Wait,
watching the show.
He's entering. He's watching Game of Thrones
today and said,
just like The Wire. He's watching it like The Wire. Trying to go. You can't watch Game of Thrones like The Wire.
You come in today. You go. Why are there so many kings?
Where did Harry Vardon come from all of a sudden as a king?
See,
he's got an army. This one's got an army.
You text me last night about the show. I'm like, there's a lot to the characters.
Wait, Mike. Also, you have to tell the people what you said about the swords yesterday.
Yeah, tell about the swords yesterday, what you said.
What, the swords being sharp all the time?
Yes.
Like, who sharpens them?
They actually, watch. Somebody respond. Yes, just keep watching.
I gotta sharpen my knife every time I cut beef.
Well, if you would.
And these guys are skewering people and hitting bone and nothing happens to the sword.
Watch the show.
You have to let that go.
That also gets addressed. It all gets addressed.
Oh, it does?
Yes.
Patience. Grasshopper.
You just want to fast forward.
I just don't understand all these kings popping out of the woodwork.
Well, why does it bother you? Just enjoy.
He can't.
It's not logical to me, this
show.
Yes,
there it is.
Well, there was King of France.
I knew this was going to happen.
You got multiple kings? This is just a lot of kings.
It's a slippery slope.
There's no democracy.
There's so much story to go, too.
A lot.
All right. I hope I have time.
Wait until the Red Wedding.
The Red Wedding?
No.
What's the red...
I don't think you'll be able to handle it.
You won't be able to handle that.
Yeah?
No.
All right. By the time I watch another episode, it'll be seven more kings. James in South Jersey. You're on 97.5 The Fanatic. James.
Yes, how you doing, Mike?
What's up, James? Turn your radio off, please, or your TV or whatever's on.
Okay, is that better?
You got to turn it off. We hear it in the background, bro. Turn it off.
Okay, I'll turn it completely off. I got it on mute.
Yeah, you got to turn it off. That's it. Good. Mute's good. All right, go ahead.
That's better?
Yeah.
Listen, Mike, love the show. A1 crew you got there. I like playing GM, Mike.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm working on my Sixers bench.
Okay.
I got a few ideas. I want to run them by you, see how you feel about it.
Okay.
I called you last week with the trade... The hypothetical trade, you know, with the Portland guards mm-hmm. and the guy from Phoenix, the Booker guy.
Yeah.
But CJ McCollum, he didn't look too bad the other night.
Oh, he's a very good player.
But someone would give up Ben for him.
What makes you think Portland would?
Yeah, there's two sides of a coin.
Yeah, I mean, they kind of like their backcourt, right? I mean, you know, desiring Ben Simmons? I don't know. With a backcourt like that, would you desire Ben Simmons?
You think maybe we could do like a sign and trade and give him to Tobias Harris?
No, I don't think so. Why would they get rid of a good player? Like, what would be their motivation to get rid of a good player?
I don't know.
You got to ask yourself that question. Portland is playing for the Western Conference Championship. Like, why would they give you a good player?
It's not like we're not giving them anything back.
Well, does it make sense that they would trade you one of their guards for Tobias Harris? Yeah, he's got something in the background he's listening to there. Let's go to Mike. He's calling from Schuylkill. What's up, Mike?
Hi, Mike. How you doing?
What's going on, buddy?
So, two things. One, I want to get Jimmy Butler back. Just, aren't you tired of the lineup constantly turning over? You bring in Durant. We're just starting over again.
No, I want Jimmy Butler, too. What I'm saying is if Jimmy Butler doesn't want you and he wants to sign with L.A., well, then you got to make another big splash, right, to stay viable.
I know, but you're hoping we can make the big splash.
Well, you don't have any control if Jimmy Butler doesn't want to sign with you.
No, I agree.
So my preference is to keep everybody together.
Yeah, it'd be great to go into the season starting with the fixed lineup. And not
it would, but you don't really have control over that.
$190 million?
No, he's going to get, listen, he's going to get the money no matter what. You heard Jimmy Butler say, it doesn't matter to me 4 or 5 years. I'm going to go to a place where I want to go. So maybe that place isn't the Sixers. I don't know what he's thinking.
Yeah, I hope it's here.
So
yeah.
If you lose Jimmy Butler, well then you're not going to be as good unless you grab another one of those premier guys that are out there. And those guys may or may not want to come to you. It's all elemental.
Right. Jimmy's here, bird in hand, right?
Yeah, exactly. I mean, I want Jimmy Butler back. I've been on the record. I want both of them to stay.
So my question to you about Brett Brown is, at what point do you think he becomes background noise to these guys?
Well, I don't know. You can say that about any coach, really, couldn't you?
He's been here, what, 7 years now?
But he hasn't been with this team. He's only been with this team 21 games as a starting team.
But Simmons and Bede, I mean, you don't think he's starting to... You still think he's viable?
Did Popovich have that problem? if you're a good coach, you're a good coach. You know, I don't know. I'm not comparing them. What I'm saying is, if you're a good coach, you're a good coach. You don't necessarily have to factor in that they tune you out. I mean, that's more. What happens more in hockey? They tune you out in hockey for some reason.
Well, and every player spoke about how much they loved him.
Yeah, but that's patter.
Hmm.
I don't buy that that they were in love with him. Hmm. I think it's what they had to say.
Well, I don't think they hate him.
No, I don't think I hate him either. But I don't think that anybody plays for a coach. I really don't. You play as an independent contractor when you're in the NBA. And hopefully the plan is good enough to have you play together as a team. But you're not going home saying, I hope Brad doesn't get fired. You know, it's the NBA.
Ben might, because he might be afraid the new coach might want to change him from point guard.
Possible.
Well, Brett's definitely going to make me the point guard.
Yeah.
Five, this new coach might come in there and want me to play the four.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not trying to live that four life. Come on, Brett. Come on back.
I'm going to live that four life, huh?
Yeah, he's not doing that.
Let's take a quick break. We'll come back. The 5 o'clock hour is ahead right here on 97.5 The Fanatic, NBC Sports Philly.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. It's going to be a busy year for country superstar Jason Aldean. He's extended his Highway Desperado tour and is teaming up with Kid Rock for Rock the Country tour dates. We've ranked our top 5 Jason Aldean music videos. Text Jason to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Jason to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.